Good morning. Before I begin, let me note Rose Hullett, I don't see here today either. I just want to note Doug will also be speaking this evening. And I appreciate the elders allowing we younger men in the congregation a monthly opportunity to speak. If you're interested in speaking, as Josh just mentioned, please check the bulletin board out front. This morning, for a few minutes, let's talk about being strong in the Lord. The New Testament speaks of strength in Christ. Paul says in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so can we. In 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, verse 13, Paul instructed the Corinthians, be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Are you strong in Christ? Am I? Are we strong together in Christ? Perhaps you will agree that we admire those who have strong faith, who are active in their work for the Lord, who are happy and content as individuals. As an example of someone who was strong in their convictions, consider Paul, who said in Galatians, the 1st chapter, the 13th to 14th verses, and in Philippians 6, that while a devout Jew who had advanced beyond his peers and was extremely zealous for the Jewish faith as he persecuted the Lord's church. Also in Philippians 3, 5, Paul says he was blameless in keeping the law. Then, after obeying the Lord, he was even more diligent. In Philippians 3, 12 through 14, he says he is actively serving the Lord, saying in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, Paul was strong in the faith, active in the work, happy and content in serving the Lord. What about us today? I suggest to you, there are some Christians who are filled with zeal. They attend services regularly, like the Corinthians Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verses 3 through 5. They willingly sacrifice for the Lord, not just out of their resources, but they first give themselves to the Lord, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. They are workers who are ready to serve. They study their Bible diligently, knowing 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says the scriptures are profitable for teaching, for correction, for training in righteousness, equipping us for every good work. They work to invite others to the Lord and take opportunities to teach by example or from the Bible. In comparison, some Christians are like the Laodiceans in Revelations, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, who were lukewarm. They occasionally attend services, giving to God only what is left over. They seldom study their Bible, and they infrequently ask those they meet to come to church with them. Why aren't they stronger? Well, each has his or her own excuses. But they might include statements such as, I don't have the ability, the education, the money, the time. They say, I can't do this. There's so much going on in their lives that there is no time for the Lord. Perhaps they say, brother or sister so-and-so said such-and-such, and I just don't want to be around them anymore. Then there are those who've gone even further away from the Lord than this, like Demas in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 10. They love the world more than the Lord. They've quit attending the services of the church. They're covetous of their time and of their money. They do not open their Bibles at all and are embarrassed to share the gospel of Christ with others. Given there are some Christians full of zeal and some who are lukewarm and some who have forsaken the Lord, I challenge each of us to determine to be a Christian who is strong in word and deed. For a few moments, let's consider some very simple thoughts about how we can be strong in the strength which God supplies through Christ our Lord and Savior. First, can you name one thing God has asked us to do that we're unable to do? I agree there are some things I may not want to do. But when we consider the fundamental commandments of God, are there truly any we are unable to do? Secondly, as we consider the thoughts about how to be strong in Christ, I ask you to examine yourself very closely as we consider some statements, questions, and our own personal answers about ways we may be spiritually strong in Christ. I suggest to you that knowledge is important if we're to be strong in the Lord. Interestingly, it seems the more we know about a subject, the more interesting it becomes. Now, some of us like sports. I hear you speaking here in the building. Some of you like to hunt, watch racing. Some of us like to travel and so on. The more we know about what we like, the more interesting it seems. Regardless of our hobby, whether it's coin collecting or coin spending, cooking, or whatever, knowledge seems to increase our interest in the subject. The same is true of God's Word. The more we learn of God's will, the more excited we become and the more interested we are in learning more. As an example, consider the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts the 8th chapter, verse 27, it describes him as an important man, a court official of Candace, a queen of Ethiopia, who was in charge of all of her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. In verse 28, we see the Ethiopian returning home, and he's reading the book of Isaiah as he travels. When the Holy Spirit has Philip join him, Philip hears him reading Isaiah and offers to explain, saying, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Do you agree that knowledge of God's word led the Ethiopian eunuch to want to learn more? In verses 36 to 39, the Ethiopian eunuch responds to the truth by saying, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" He is baptized, and he rejoices in his salvation. A second very familiar example is Cornelius. In Acts the 10th chapter, the first two verses, it commends Cornelius as a devout man, one who feared God with all his household. After receiving a vision instructing him to send for Peter, he does so. In verse 24, it makes it clear that he was anxious to hear God's word and share it with his family and friends, saying that when Peter and some brethren came to Caesarea, it says, Cornelius was waiting for them and called together his relatives and close friends. After telling Peter of his vision, verse 3 continues to show Cornelius' eagerness to learn when he says, "So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." After hearing Peter, verse 48 says, Cornelius and his household obeyed the Lord by being baptized. Again, I suggest to you that the more knowledge you gain and the more diligence you show in your study, the more your interest in the Lord increases. To go and strengthen ourselves in the Lord, 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2 says we are to be like newborn babes desiring the Lord's word, just as a baby desires milk. Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16, gives us a good example of how we should be when it says, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. With knowledge of God's word, our faith in God's word and conviction of its truth must grow also. The word conviction carries the idea of confidence, certainty, fervor, and persuasion. How does this happen? Well, Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Without belaboring the point, let me simply ask, do you have a strong faith and conviction? 2 Timothy 1, verse 12 says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul says he knows. Do you? When we have faith, when we have conviction, we are able to do as Paul instructs in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Truly, faith in God's word strengthens us in the Lord. As our knowledge of God's word and our faith and conviction of its truth grows, we likewise become stronger in the Lord. We have a desire for the truth and righteousness. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Yes, as your desire for truth and righteousness increases, you seek out God's word and you work to apply it in your life. For instance, in Acts 13, 6 to 7, the proconsul Epaphras, Sergius Paulus, asked Barnabas and Saul to speak the word of God to him. After hearing what they said, verse 12 says he believed. Sergius Paulus sought the truth. We need to do likewise. 1 Peter 2, 2, the earlier example I shared with you, where newborn babes long for pure milk, we need to desire the pure milk of the word so that by it, you, myself, may grow in respect to salvation. If we do not seek the truth, we grow weak spiritually. We die spiritually. Brethren, we don't want the words of Hebrews 5, verse 12 to apply to us when God said, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Rather, as we read in Matthew 5, verse 6, we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness and strive to grow in spirit and truth. As we build our knowledge and faith and our desire for God's truth and righteousness increases, we will desire and decide to do what is spiritually right, and will determine to deny ourselves and sacrifice our lives to Jesus. In Luke, the ninth chapter, verse 23, Jesus says, if any man will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, denying ourselves isn't our normal tendency, is it? Doug recently spoke about fasting and the discipline one gains by doing that. Too often we convince ourselves we need this or we need that, when actually all we are doing is having worldly wants that take priority over spiritual necessities. 1 John 2, 15-17 tells us the devil approaches us using the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Instead of submitting to the world, we must choose to deny self and follow Christ. We must desire to do what is right. We must be a Christian who understands 1 John 2:17 says, the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who decides to do the will of God abides forever. As we decide to do and then do the will of God, we grow strong in the Lord. When must we do the right thing in order to grow stronger in the Christ? Now. Can't wait. Now. I admire Joshua's example when he said in Joshua 24:15, if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What will you and I choose to do? Who will we choose to serve? Is it the Lord? If it is the Lord, Paul clearly provides us some great instructions in Ephesians 6, where he instructs us to put on the whole armor of God. Armor? That's right. We are at war. The Bible says so. Wilson Adams, a brother in Christ, recently asserted we are at war against the pleasures of this world and the fleshly lust which war against the soul. We must be good soldiers of Christ, because our adversary is the devil, and he prowls about like a roaring lion. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, so we must put on the full armor of God, for our struggle is against the devil. Why do we need to do this? So that when our brief, yes, our lives are brief, when our lives are over, we can say like Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Notice, Brother Adams closes by saying, don't like the imagery? Take it up with the author. Too many Christ disciples either refuse to engage, sympathize with the enemy, or desert the cause. It happens. It shouldn't. Returning to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, let's read God's instruction. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. As God tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 and 4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Truly, we are at war, and as citizens of the kingdom, we must be soldiers of the cross. And as James says in James, the 1st chapter, verse 22, we must prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. In other words, we must do more than talk a good game. we must live it. Living requires doing. Participation in the Lord's work is critical to our being strong in the Lord. I mentioned earlier that many of us have interest in sports and fishing and racing and travel and so on. The more we participate, the more we want to participate. There are spiritual blessings in doing God's will. For example, in James, the first chapter, verse 25, "But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does." Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2 continues, "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart." When you put on the whole armor of God and become an effectual doer of God's word, you become a fruit bearer. What kind of fruit? Well, John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And then Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So the result of increasing our knowledge of the Lord is an increase in our interest to do the Lord's will. When our knowledge grows, our faith grows. When our knowledge and faith grow, we desire to know the Lord's truth and to live in righteousness. We decide to do what is right, and we feel an urgency to do so now as we become doers of the word of the Lord, strong in the Lord as we live daily and walk our path toward heaven. We are successful in growing strong in the Lord, knowing that Paul's words in Philippians 4:13 are in truth our own words. Do you remember them? "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." If we are not strong in the Lord, interested in his work, devoted to his cause, is likely due to our not having sought knowledge of the Lord's will, which serves as a gateway to increased faith and helps build a true desire to seek and apply God's word and will in our lives. By deciding to do what is right, we commit to participate and to bear fruit and to become successful in being strong in the Lord, Philippians 4:13. As citizens of the kingdom, we must do this. In the words of the song we often sing, "I encourage each of us to work, to be strong in the Lord. Arise, put your armor on, becoming strong in the strength which God supplies. Let each of us trust in the strength which Jesus supplies. Let us stand in the great might of Christ, leaning on his strength, regardless of whether our burdens are great or small. Let us rely on his every virtue and every grace. And having done so, we will overcome this world and prepare ourselves for an eternal home in heaven, where we will stand entire at last." Do you need to be strong in the Lord? If you have not obeyed the Lord in baptism, we encourage you to turn and obey Christ today. All things are ready. If you are a Christian who has turned away from the Lord, we encourage you to repent of your sins, and we will happily pray for you and with you. As I often say, if you miss heaven, you miss everything. If we can help you, today is the time. Now is the moment. Won't you come as we stand to sing?